We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
So this is the karaoke instrumental version of If I Were a Rich Man.
It's nice.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
So our fearless leader, our boss, the man who saved WABC and quite frankly our careers, and we love him dearly, and that's just a fact, so get over it, folks. John Catsimatidis, he actually sent me a text a couple of days ago. And this is the 50-year anniversary of Fiddler on the Roof, folks. 50-year anniversary. Todd Shapiro told me that. And he goes, if I were a rich man. I said, if? Anyway, what better way? We've had all these great days. We celebrated the Greeks, the Irish, the Italians, cops, and so many others. These are all brilliant ideas. And I said to John a couple of days ago, I said, you need to kick all these days off. You're the brainchild, the genius behind it. So with that said, as we get set to celebrate 73 years today of Israeli independence, here he is. The man, John Catsimatidis. Good morning, John.
Sidney, congratulations on being Grand Marshal again. You were Grand Marshal 2 years ago, and you're Grand Marshal again. And it's such a proud day to celebrate Israel Independence Day, 73 years. And it's going to be a great day. You know, WABC is going to be 100 years old this September, and we'll be celebrating that too. I am glad that we're in New York City, the head of diversity and the head of celebrating all ethnic cultures. And I've always been very, very close to the Jewish people. And Rabbi Potashnik, Rabbi Schneier is my rabbi. It's going to be a beautiful day, Sid. What do you say?
I'm very excited. I'm honored. I must say I'm honored. I've got my sash here. I'll be taking pictures, putting them on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter momentarily. I wish my father was alive to see this, but people are telling me today, don't worry, he sees it. The New York Post promo you put in yesterday was beautiful. This whole thing is beautiful. Bernard, my dear buddy, my partner, is as enthusiastic and pro-Israel as anybody I know. He's a legitimate Zionist.
L'chaim.
Yeah, so
Mr. Katz.
We are both very excited. We're both very excited, and we love these days, but specifically this one. I'll ask you this. You've never done this stuff before at other stations. All these days that we now give to the different ethnic groups. It's a brilliant idea. Where did that start?
When did it start?
Yeah,
I think we started last year when we did Columbus Day, and we honored all Italians, and we were proud, and we were very angry about what was going on in New York, trying to tear down the Columbus statue in Central Park or down in 59th Street. And it's about celebrating all our cultures and not allowing some of these crazy people to tear down our cultures. Sid, who are these people that are trying to tear down America?
Yeah, who the hell are they? That's an excellent question, and we have to stop them. Mr. Catsimatidis on the Bernie and Sid Show as we celebrate Israel Independence Day. Mr. Catsimatidis, you, sir, are the product of the American dream, and I would posit that the state of Israel is analogous to the American dream. They were given, they took the opportunity, a piece of desert in a land, a godforsaken land, turned it into an oasis, took the opportunity, capitalized on it in a big way, and it's a wild success. Just like your story, sir, the state of Israel, they did the same exact thing to their credit. Against all odds, and yet here they are today, not only surviving, but thriving out in the Middle East.
And they have, how do you call it in Italian, coglions? they are protecting the world against Iran getting nuclear weapons. They're on the forefront. And I believe they are being supported by the other Arab nations, are supported by the United States. They will not allow Iran to get nuclear weapons, and they do what they have to do, and they've said that. And we have a great day. We have Henry Kissinger, 98 years old. I interviewed him yesterday for this morning. He has great insight, 98 years old. His mind is as sharp as a tack. We got Senator Schumer. We got Senator Lieberman. We got Alan Dershowitz. We have a, Cindy Adams is calling in, tell us her experiences in Israel. And, we have a day loaded with special guests. And Sydney, thank you for everything you do for, the Jewish community and everything you do for WABC.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for bestowing me with this great honor. And you're a good man, John. We talk about that all the time. This is not show. This is not, hey, we're just going to, you know, pander and be nice to these different ethnic groups. This is something you feel strongly about. Same thing with Bernie and Sid. We feel strongly about it, too. So we are both very, very proud to be a part of this today. We love you. And let's have a good time. We got a big day ahead of us. Thank you so much for kicking it off.
One more thing, Sid. You got to tell the audience about Studio 77, and we have to teach our audience how to use it, that we are going to have live entertainment streaming on the WABC website, streaming on YouTube, streaming on Facebook. I know we have a lot of people that are technically oriented, but our audience should learn to see that. We have the six dancing rabbis to celebrate Independence Day. And Sid, you're going to be emceeing that and taking charge of that. You got to teach your audience and our audience how to be able to see it live.
Yeah, we will do that. Bernie and I will fill them in throughout the day, because you're right, between noon and about 4 o'clock this afternoon, everybody from Jackie Mason to the dancing rabbis to a very famous Jewish rapper, we have an unbelievable list, thanks to folks like Mia Raftery and Todd Shapiro, a big-name guest, John. So we will alert the folks how they can watch it. Stage 77 is a beautiful area. As COVID goes away, more and more listeners will be allowed to come here and watch some of these events live. Chad Lopez's brainchild. Good job out of Chad. And it's all very, very exciting. So thanks again, John Katzimatidis and Margo.
God bless.
Lovely Margo, thank you for kicking off this incredible day here at WABC. And Bernie and I will be back with a multitude, a bevy of big-name guests on this Israeli Independence Day on WABC. I'm donned in blue today, light blue, dark blue. My sash is blue and white for this big Israeli Independence Day bash we're having here at Talk Radio 77 WABC. We've got an amazing day of programming. We have all these stories to cover, but I got a text from Bernie yesterday. We'll give you a little inside baseball here.
Yeah, this is funny. Come on, man.
It is funny. So Bernie and I are really, really close. That doesn't mean we talk five times a day. Right, we're not women. We don't do that type of stuff. Sorry, don't get mad at me. I'm not a misogynist. There are weeks sometimes you don't talk at all. We do the show together. We go home. He's got Carol and his lovely family. I've got my family. We don't talk. But we are really close. I know things about Bernie no one else does. He knows a little too much about me that no one knows the details.
Very
true. Yeah.
Very true.
So, but every now and then he'll send me a text, or I'll send him a text. So it was something that happens throughout that day, but it's really got to be something big for us to text each other, because like I said, we just tend to let each other do our thing after we're done with work. So I was here late yesterday, and I bumped into Greg Kelly, who's on 1 to 3 on this station every day. Of course, the big Newsmax star. I was on with Greg Kelly once in Miami. I was on the set of Gravesend a couple of Mondays ago, and I called in. He asked me to call in. It was my first ever appearance on the Greg Kelly show, but I don't really know Greg. Didn't know him from Channel 5. Never met him. Didn't know him at all. Did that one appearance a couple of weeks ago. That was that. So I'm walking around the station yesterday about 1:30, and I see Greg Kelly.
Right. He hosts the 1 to 3 slot here at 77 WABC.
Correct. So I'm wearing one of my Joseph Abu jackets, which, by the way, was big on me yesterday. It wasn't tight. It didn't really show off any muscle. But he right away, he does this, the two or three times that I met him, he goes, "Who makes your clothing? How do you look like that? Blah, blah, blah." He said, "And by the way, if you're around, I'd love to bring you out at 2:40. I said, "Sure, you're Greg Kelly. You're a monster star. I'm honored. I'm humbled. Of course I'll come on." So I did leave, and I hopped out of my cab right in the middle of Central Park. because I didn't make it home in time yet. I didn't want to be in a cab. And I started walking from the east side to the west side in Central Park while I'm on the phone with Greg Kelly. And I make this appearance. And right after the appearance, I get a text from Bernard who says, I just left the gym. That was hysterical. What did you like so much about it?
Well, it was, let me just put it that way. I prefaced the text by saying to you, you blanking maniac.
You did
say that. Was hilarious.
Yes.
And it was. I was listening on my way home, coincidentally, from the gym myself, and Greg Kelly was actually, he had a good conversation about race stuff, the right shooting, all that. Then he was talking about his own personal, whatever, his experiences in the past. He was down at a certain era, very, very down, and how he looked up, and it's God. He saw a building. He was inspired by the building. It was a religious building, and how God can help you in your life, all that stuff. God is great. God can help you. And then he takes a couple of phone calls from some nice older women who said, yes, that was beautiful, and God can really help you. It helped me. And he ends the segment. He goes, yes, and God bless you, and we'll be right back. And then a couple of commercials, and next thing you know, okay, now we have Sid Rosenberg from the Bernie and Sid Show.
Yeah.
Sid Rosenberg. And then all hell broke loose. I mean, it was, you talk about two ends of the spectrum.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my. He starts talking about, first of all, no masks.
No masks.
And how, no mask. You don't wear a mask in the subway? Or have you ever has anybody ever hassled you? Well, I got into a physical altercation with a woman a few months ago with blue hair. A woman with blue hair? And then, of course, the working out aspect of it.
Steroids?
Yeah, the steroids. He couldn't believe his jaw dropped. You could hear it dropping on the radio almost when you told him that you took. He says, I've heard people say they took steroids years ago, but I never heard anybody admit that they're currently taking steroids. You don't really take steroids.
What do I say?
And you said, yes, I do. You have to cheat. You have to cheat if you want to look like me.
Oh, God.
And then he says doesn't it make your – he actually said, doesn't it make your testicles shrink?
He actually said that.
Yes. And
I said, there's no woman out there who wants a man with large testicles, but it does make your shaft bigger.
Bro.
And he was like
When I tell you, he was just talking about God and my personal experience, and God can help you in your life. And then you come on, and all freaking hell breaks loose.
Oh, God.
It was raucous. It was wild. It was hilarious.
Well, thank you.
It was what it was.
I got a bunch of texts. I'm not going to lie. My phone blew up. Even people here, Leslie, son. But yours was my favorite. When you texted me, I'm like, because Bernie's honest. Bernie's not going to text me unless it's really, really good. He's just not.
I mean, it was so funny in a way that you wouldn't expect. I mean, it just really was.
Thank you, Bernie. All right. We got 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We are celebrating 73 years of Israeli independence today on this show and throughout the day here on ABC. Oh, oh yeah! I want to get away. I
want to fly away. Well, let's go ahead and do it. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere in the 77 WABC up simulcast out on Eastern Long Island News Talk 107.1 FM as we celebrate Israel Independence Day. A lot more on that coming up a little bit later. But right now, go to WABCradio.com and register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee, and that's B-A-R-R-I-E. Barry House Coffee is proud to be the official coffee of Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC. Register now, and good luck, ladies and gentlemen. Sid, they're moving with Operation Warp Speed down in Washington with their crazy, crazy radical agenda. It came out last night. They're actually going to introduce legislation this morning in both the House and the Senate to pack the Supreme Court, to add four justices, I believe, four, to the Supreme Court.
So they are doing that.
They're actually going to introduce the legislation today.
Wow.
Our guy Jerry Wadler, your congressman from the Upper West Side, he's going to do it in the House, and this other idiot Markey up in the Senate. So that also, they're preparing legislation from Congress for reparations. Right. And they're making moves maybe as early as this week to make Washington, D.C. a state.
We talked about all these
it's
things.
It's all happening now.
What about Puerto Rico?
Well, that That's going to have to wait. One state at a time.
Gotcha.
I guess they.
No, but the point is, all these things that you just mentioned, we talked about as real possibilities if, in fact, the Democrats have a good November. And here we are, just a couple of months later, and now you're telling me it's all becoming a reality?
All becoming a reality. And, of course, Mr. Magoo down there, he doesn't know what the hell's going on. These people know, I believe they know, they only have 2 years to get anything done, and so they're going to go for it. They're throwing everything at the wall and see what sticks.
Javier Baccaria.
Baccaria, yeah, this guy, there he is.
Son of a bitch.
The drooling imbecile letting all this happen who promised.
I got hairy legs.
Yeah, he was going to be the moderate. But anyway, all that's happening down in Washington, especially the packing the Supreme Court, that's happening today. And also, out in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, they actually charged the woman, the female officer who shot Dante Wright, with second-degree manslaughter. She faces 10 years.
They arrested her.
They arrested her. The mugshot is out there. And the poor thing, I mean, look, it was an accident. She deserves to be held accountable for the accident. But it was indeed an accident. But not according to AOC, who joined the other crazies. She says that Dante Wright's killing was not a random disconnected accident. It was the outcome of an indefensible system that grants impunity for state violence, blah, blah, blah.
I'm the boss.
All this nonsense. And police, she wants to not only defund the police, they want to abolish the police. In other words, they want to abolish local police. They want to make it federalized. That's what they want, control from Washington, D.C. If they keep control in the Congress somehow or other, after 2022, they want to federalize the police department. And this one guy, and of course, Barack Obama put out a statement yesterday, which was gross. And we don't have time right now to get into it. He didn't say anything. All you have to do is tell people, don't resist.
Right.
And we would avoid all of this. And Barack Obama could say that. He has the credibility to say that, but he won't.
He never does.
He doesn't have the nerve now.
He never does.
Now the woke mob is so fearsome today.
Not just now. Let me remind everybody that the reason why Ferguson, Missouri, burned out of control the way it did, when in fact Michael Brown turned out to be nothing more than just a criminal thug, was because Barack Obama allowed that to happen.
But he not all. We have some audio from him from back in the day. He said the right things.
Before that. Missouri.
Yeah, that's right. Before that. But even as late as 2014, he was saying the right things. But one quick clip here on this, which is the a police union official in Minnesota. He said the right things. Listen to him.
You have to look at this situation as a chain of events, and this is going to be an unpopular statement, but Dante Wright, if he would have just complied, he was told he was under arrest, they were arresting him on a warrant for weapons, you know, he set off a chain of events that unfortunately led to his death. I'm not excusing it, but you know what we're seeing in policing these days is that non-compliance by the public. And you know, police officers are tasked with enforcing the law that legislators create.
That's all Barack Obama has to say.
That's
listen,
it.
You can say all of it. It's a terrible tragedy. We mourn for the family. It's awful, awful, awful. Please, gentlemen, young gentlemen out there, do not resist.
Great point, Bernie. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We do celebrate today 73 years of Israeli independence. What an amazing lineup all day. Very excited. 8:50 this morning, right after Bill O'Reilly, as if O'Reilly's not good enough. John Catsimatidis sat down yesterday with Henry Kissinger. We're going to play that conversation. Plus, two of our dear friends, Heshy Augenbaum and Dov Hyken, coming up next hour. See you.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. That's right, we're going to speak to Dov Hyken. We're going to talk to, Henry Kissinger will be interviewed on the Bernie and Sid Show coming up as we celebrate Israel Independence Day, the great state of Israel, on the Bernie and Sid Show. Back here in the Bernie and Sid Show, as we celebrate Israel Independence Day. Yeah! David Lee Roth, of course, prominent Jewish American. And we will speak to Dov Hyken a little later on this hour. He's a very proud Jew. We have an interview with Henry Kissinger coming up next hour. Also, Bill O'Reilly. And I don't know if you heard, Sydney, last night, the DMX Memorial in Mount Vernon. Well, there was a couple of people got shot.
What?
Can you believe that? At the DMX Memorial, a couple of people got shot. And also, I have actually heard, I haven't watched any of these late-night, quote-unquote, comedy shows in a long time, in years. But they're having a field day on our guy, my guy, Matt Gaetz, I should say. These ass clowns are crushing Matt Gaetz, these unfunny so-called comics. But they treat Hunter Biden like he's a fragile little child. Little Hunter. Oh, poor Hunter. Yeah, how did you make it through all this, being a crack addict and all that? But Matt Gaetz, he's become the butt of a lot of jokes, apparently. And also, just speaking of entertainment, sticking with entertainment, this Colton Underwood, he was a bachelor for a long time, and turns out he did an interview yesterday on Good Morning America. The bachelor was gay.
Is that right?
That's right. And this is what he said yesterday on Good Morning America. He actually apologized to the girl who he picked. And I'll tell you a little bit more about this on the other side.
I would like to say sorry for how things ended. I messed up. I made a lot of bad choices. I'm sorry for any pain and emotional stress I caused. I wish it wouldn't have happened the way it did. I wish that I would have been courageous enough to fix myself before I broke anybody else.
So there may be some ulterior motive here. This guy, it's all over the place. It's trending. The Bachelor was gay. He hoaxed. He duped a bunch of girls. He duped the nation.
Yeah.
But it turns out that the girl he picked, it ended very, very ugly, and that's why he's apologizing, because she had a restraining order out against him. He was stalking her, threatening texts, all that stuff.
I like that.
So if he's stalking her, why was he stalking her if he was gay?
Well, listen, there's been a lot of folks that are very famous, even considered almost sex objects, that a lot of questions about their sexuality. Now, I'm not saying they're gay or they're not, but Troy Aikman, for example, Ryan Seacrest, lots of rides in the backseat of Merv Griffin's car.
A lot of guys.
Guys
considering running for president, for example.
Oh, who's that?
I'm not going to mention names.
I want to know.
No, I'm just
is
not
he
going
gay?
To.
Is he gay? We think he's gay.
There's talk about.
Oh, DeSantis.
There's talk about.
Ron
no,
DeSantis.
No, no, no. He's from the entertainment world.
The Rock?
I ain't saying no names.
Yeah, you are.
Bro. So look,
you just called the Rock gay.
So,
he's going to kick
listen,
your ass.
But listen, here's the thing. I did not say that. I'm not
that's
saying,
Bernie
I'm
McGurk.
I'm not
Dwayne.
Saying. I'm not saying
that
it
ain't
was,
Sid Rosenberg.
I am not saying it's the Rock. There are other people. It could be Kanye. You don't know. Anyway, this Colton Underwood, though. My point is, why would he stalk the girl if he was gay?
Because
why
he's
would
playing
he care?
A role, Bernie. Because he's playing a role.
No, this was after they had broken up.
He's still playing a role.
He was angry. Yeah, you would think he'd say. Later for you. I'm not interested in your private part. Whatever.
People do crazy things and go out of their way to try to prove to people that they're not gay, even when they are, including stalking people. So I don't really have an answer for you. I'm just trying to give you something, Bert.
So your girl on the Real Housewives of New York.
Which one is that?
Carol Radziwill.
Well, she has been on that show for 3 years.
All right. Well, she still makes the news. She's still a prominent figure. And she came out and she said... she said, congrats to Colton Underwood, but also, what? Is what she writes. You apply and compete with other men and go on a TV show looking for love and you think you might be gay? What about processing that without involving TV crews and 25 girls?
Shut up.
It's a great day for gay men, but a bad day for young women.
Yeah.
Hashtag bachelor.
That's her. That's Carol for you.
Well, wait a second, though. I think she makes eminent sense right there.
But I just don't like her, so I can't.
I don't know her, so I don't.
Well, you remember when her and I used to fight on Twitter
early in our show. Yeah, yeah.
We used to fight like crazy on Twitter because she hated Donald Trump, and she was the one that had this big Hillary Clinton party on Real Housewives of New York the night of the election. And people started leaving and crying, and she spent like the next three episodes crying about how the United States is never going to be the same, and her life is basically ruined, and yeah, all this nonsense. Then she ran the marathon in New York and had a sign, her friends and family holding up signs at the end of the race bashing Trump. I couldn't stand Carol.
Okay, hate her. I hate her now,
plus
too.
Plus, she's ugly.
I don't know. Look, in this instance, to me, she got slammed. She got she's got just slaughtered for those comments. But I thought they were right on the money. So I call it, you know,
that's
like
fair.
I see him.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
Anyway, this Colton Underwood, he went on to, A, blame the Catholic Church, you know, for hiding his, you know, his sexuality and being afraid to come out. But he also blamed sports. I guess he was an aspiring professional
baseball
sports
player,
guy.
Right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, The Bachelor, by the way, is huge. My wife and my daughter are such diehard Bachelor fans and Bachelorette fans. I watched one season of The Bachelorette, but a lot of guys watch it as well.
Oh, absolutely.
This is big. So anyway, here's Colton Underwood explaining about how sports suppressed his ability to come out. Take a listen.
I had made mistakes in my sports and in my athletic career, and when you make mistakes, that play was gay or that was a bad. Gay was always affiliated with a connotation of negativity, and I think there's a lot of things when I look back, I'm like, no wonder I held it in.
So here's my question. The sports today, all these sports leagues, Roger Goodell now and the other idiot, Manfred, all of them, they're all woke, right? They're all liberal, woke, and but there were no gays. There were no gays.
No. There are definitely gays.
I mean, okay.
Definitely.
And that's even makes the problem worse. There are no openly
gay
people.
But that's not the commissioner's fault. That is, these guys, for the most part, are still Neanderthals. They are. And they'll say all the right things, as will the commissioners. But get inside a locker room, and every now and then—
There are no gays? There are no trans?
No, there are. There's all those things.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're all kept under wraps. Why? Why? If you're so woke, why? Why don't you do something about that?
The leagues are woke. I don't think the players are all woke. Woke, I should say. I wouldn't want to be in a locker room if I was gay in the NFL. I wouldn't want to be that way.
Yeah.
And yet it only takes one guy to make your life miserable.
And yet they're going to lecture us on, you know, ethical matters and all that stuff.
Please. The
shut up.
People.
Dummy up.
Right. Agreed.
No, these people are they're complete and total cowardly hypocrites is what they are. But yes, so like LeBron James, he's supposed to be so woke. Why doesn't he speak? Where is the, you know, and the WNBA, how come there are no...
they're all gay. What do you mean? The whole league is gay.
How come there are no, you know, trans women who used to be men in the WNBA?
How would you know?
Well, I would imagine the jock strap or something.
I guess.
If they you know, maybe they didn't get the full transition job.
But I mean, the WNBA, God bless these women. A lot of them, maybe even the majority, I don't know, are gay. So.
And there's one other
Rosie O'Donnell used to have season tickets, I know that, for one of those teams, right?
Is she?
The Liberty or somebody.
Liberty,
yeah.
There was this Buffalo Bills wife. This guy is he's a receiver, I believe, on the Buffalo Bills.
What's his name?
I don't have his name in front of me. I think
it's not Stephon Diggs, is it?
No,
he's
no. I'm going to get it for you, but he's not a big name.
He's not a big name,
but he's
okay.
Been around.
All right,
but
is it Beasley?
No.
Okay, he's a big name. All right, go ahead.
It's Jordan Poyer.
Okay, nobody knows who's.
Yes, that is
even
exactly
I don't know who
right.
that is.
So his wife came out. The Buffalo Bills have said that. That anybody who wants to attend a Bills game, and that includes family members, have to be vaccinated. Anybody that wants to attend a Buffalo Bills
game. Not just Bills, but the Buffalo Sabres, the professional hockey team up in Buffalo, has adopted the same philosophy.
Right. So
Sabres and Bills.
The wife came out.
Same owner.
And she was furious. She says that we have pregnant wives, wives who are breastfeeding, wives who have already had COVID. So it's dangerous to get vaccinated now. You know that. If you've had COVID, do not get vaccinated. Don't get vaccinated because your body is already primed to fight the disease itself. So it fights the vaccination and you suffer severe side effects. So she wrote that. None of us are comfortable with getting the vaccine. None of us should be forced to do so in order to watch our own husbands play live. And blah, blah, blah. She went on to say, so good for her. She's right. And this is this is what's coming down. This, you know, big brother type. It's It doesn't have to be the government, but it's going to be all these sports organizations, Madison Square Garden, all that stuff. They want to see your papers, your vaccination papers, before you can come in.
Terrible.
That's why you, Sid Rosenberg, who is an anti-vaxxer, you're going to be locked out.
Maybe. I don't want to go anyway lately because of just the, you know, what they put you through just to get the testing. Forget about the vaccinations. Right. You got to go for like three tests before you go to a Brooklyn Net game. I've turned down 30 tickets.
And speaking of which, the vaccination, Johnson & Johnson now put on indefinite pause.
Yes.
Even though we pointed out yesterday how stupid it is, statistically insignificant amount of people, six women got blood clots. They would have gotten it anyway in the general population with those numbers.
So we are celebrating 73 years of Israeli independence today. We've got an amazing guest list, and it starts now. Heshy Jorgenbaum coming up next, then Dov Hykind. If there's a fight, you can promise that me and Dov are going to be there. Former quarterback of the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets. In fact, the last Jewish quarterback to win a playoff game in the NFL. Jay Fiedler is going to be here. Bill O'Reilly, a great conversation between John Catsimatidis and Henry Kissinger. Dov Kotler, Tova Feldschuh, she's been nominated for 4 Emmy and Tony Awards, a wonderful actress. And the chief cantor, Joseph Malovny, is going to be here as well. So a bunch of really, really great guests as we kick it off now. Israeli Independence Day with Bernie and Sid, only right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
We choose to go to the moon.
What a Sunday special. Thank you. John Catsimatidis kicked off our coverage, as he has done and will do for all of these special days at 6:30 this morning. But his lovely wife, Margot, who's just a great lady. I mean, seriously, they're a great couple. She, if we ask for something on this show, we get it. So she found out that I love M&M's, and she has since made sure that there are thousands and thousands of bags of M&M's in this studio. Found out Bernie loves jelly beans. And so I said to her the other day, I said, if it's going to be that easy, I got to tell you, Margot, kind of like a Porsche. So I'm just waiting for the car to pull up here any day now. But on a serious note, Emily Pankow just dropped off M&M's for me and your jelly beans. And once again, so generous, so nice. Thank you so much.
Such a sweetheart. I mean, this woman is just a real genuine nice lady, Margot Catsimatidis, and a smart, very smart lady, but just you can feel the warmth. And the same thing with our owner, Mr. Katz.
Yeah.
They're just
great,
kind, nice, grounded people.
Great family. Yeah. AJ's a wonderful young lady, and Junior's a great guy. So thank you, Margot, for the M&M's and jelly beans.
Thank you so much.
And the Easter gift as well. And we'll see you later on this morning as we celebrate. We got a big party coming your way noon to 4, which you can watch. They'll stream it live on WABCradio.com. We've got Dancing Rabbis. We've got Jackie Mason. We've got a very famous Jewish rapper. You can watch it all unfold. I'll be emceeing noon to 4 right here at WABCradio.com. But now we've got a string of about 6 or 7 great guests in a row. Our first guest here, since John Catsimatidis, is a dear friend of both Bernie and Sid. Dear friend. The guy that I got to know a couple of years ago, built a great relationship with Maimonides Hospital in Brooklyn, New York, because of this guy. And again, the friendship has ensued, and now he's one of the more special people in my life. Say good morning to Heshy Jorgenbaum. Good morning, Heshy.
Yeah, hi, good morning. You know, I don't dance and I don't rap, but I wanted, I called up Matt Meany, and he was kind enough, and he's a very talented person. And he played Neighborhood Bully by Bob Dylan as my intro. Because after 2,000 years of persecutions, expulsions, and attempts at annihilation, it's time the world says enough. Israel's founding brought justice to the Jewish people, who were never allowed to defend themselves or determine their own future. That has now changed with Israel's independence.
It has.
So thank you for the opportunity to go ahead and say hello to Bernie and Sid, my real good, dear friend.
Heshy, it's great to speak to you.
Yeah,
Heshy.
Great to have you, Heshy. And, you know, you and I had a discussion yesterday. I've never been to Israel. I'm going to be going for the first time in November when my son Gabriel becomes a bar mitzvah boy. We are going as a family. We're very, very excited. But you and I talked about this yesterday, how American Jews still have adopted Israel, whether they've been there or not, as kind of their home field, right? In a sports analogy, Israel is our home field, whether we've been there or not. That's a fair thing to say, right, Heshy?
That is a very fair thing to say. It's truth is the Jews, and what we spoke about is that Israel is synonymous with the Jewish people, and Jews, their DNA is connected whether they are observant or not observant, and they have a special feeling deep in their hearts for Israel. And you'll see, Sid, when you'll go there, and I think you should take Bernie along, actually.
I would love it.
Yeah. My two sons, Bernie and Gabriel.
Right. And what's going to happen is you're going to feel right at home. It's going to be a different feeling. In my own life, you know, my kids, after high school, they studied in Israel. My boys for 3 years, and my girls also went to seminary over there. And a lot of your audience has similar experiences with their kids after studying in American schools, right? After high school, they go to Israel. And that experience is with them and for their entire lives and changes their lives, actually. It's one big camaraderie, and that's our home court, like you said.
You know, Heshy, nobody is smarter than you. You know Israeli and Jewish history. I believe you're a rabbi, right, Heshy?
Yeah, I am a rabbi. Yes, I am.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're a smart man, full of wisdom. But a lot of people don't realize the story of the history of Israel. You know, the Zionism, the father of modern-day Zionism was a guy named Theodor Herzl. He was a journalist who was converted to Zionism during the Dreyfus Affair in France. And then it goes on and on. But I guess the point I'm getting at is even after Israel was granted or declared their independence from England and then became a state in 1948, they were actually attacked by five Arab nations with full-on military. They had established militaries. Israel was a brand-new state. They had to fight five countries, and they fought them and won. And that's why Israel is still here and subsequent wars after that. But in other words, it's a testament to the courage and resilience of the Jewish people.
That is true. And it's the only liberal democracy in the Middle East. It's a country that advances our national interests and shares our values. Well, what used to be our values of freedom of speech, freedom of worship, and human rights. So Israel is also the only one stable pro-American country in a hostile region. And I think it deserves our strong and committed friendship. And the two best friends that I know are on ABC. Now it's maybe four friends, Mr. and Mrs. Kasmatidis and Bernie and Sid. I want to do a Dr. Seuss salute to Israel's independence and stick it to the cancel culture. And I want you to join in your audience. And this is it. Today you are you. That is certainly true. There is no one today who is youer than you. And that's happy Independence Day to Israel.
Love it.
73 years old and going strong.
Oh, that was beautiful. I love that. That's good stuff, Heshy. Heshy, you really are the absolute best. The work you do in Brooklyn Maimonides Hospital, what you've done with our station over the years, so many fun events. Pink Runway, of course, is such a magnificent event every year, which I've had a great opportunity to be a part of, along with Dolores and Margaret and Baruch Shemtov and everybody else. And certainly that softball game last summer was a lot of fun. So thank you, and thank you so much for hopping on today. Continued success. Be well. We love you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Hesh.
Love you back. All right. Bernie, Sid, we love you. We love Israel. And we love the what used to be the American dream and hopefully will continue to be the American dream.
Yes.
Heshy Organbaum, folks, dear friend of the show, dear friend of the station, and does tremendous work alongside Maimonides Hospital in Brooklyn every day. We'll take a short break. When we get back, if there is an injustice to a Jewish person anywhere in this city or state, you can count on one thing for sure. And that is that not many days after that, me and a guy named Dove Hikind are going to be there. This guy was, for the better part of four decades, one of the great politicians in the history of Brooklyn, in and around Borough Park. He is a proud Jew. We all love him. The great Dove Hikind on Bernie and Sid is coming up next.
Put your out, dry your crying eyes. How can I explain the fear you feel inside? 'Cause you were born. Just why? What have we become? Just look what we have done.
Celebrating 73 years today of Israeli independence, John Katzimatidis and Heshy Organbaum have already stopped by. Also, we were thanking Margot Katzimatidis for the candy. She also ordered this beautiful blue and white sash. I'll take a picture of that shortly, put it up on my Instagram and Bernie and Sid Instagram and Twitter accounts. So thank you for the lovely sash as well, Margo. Now, just talked about our next guest. This guy spent the better part of four decades as Brooklyn's best politician. Bottom line, just was assemblyman out of the Borough Park section of Brooklyn. And now, anytime there's an injustice in the Jewish community, he's the first. The first guy, you know, John said the word earlier, Corleones, I guess, the Italian. In Hebrew, it's Beitzim. That's a big set of balls. And that's what Dove Hikind's got. He's got a big set of balls. You mess with the Jews, he's going to be there.
And they ain't matzah balls.
No, they ain't. So with that said, here he is, our dear friend on this celebratory day, the great Dove Hikind. Good morning, Dove.
Great to be with both of you, Bernie, Sid. Always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to have you too. So what I said is true, Dove. Anytime there's an injustice, you and I have been together on a bunch of events outside the library, outside the New York Times, most recently the SNL situation. Anytime there's an injustice, you are out there front and center defending the Jews. But as I came to find Dove and we had that wonderful Shabbos dinner, and my family met your beautiful family, that is something you've been doing for the better part of 50 years.
Yeah, look, you know, being there for other people, being warm to people, caring about people, standing up for the things that you believe in, regardless of how the wind is blowing, you know, that's sort of when your parents went through the Holocaust, when your mother's a survivor of Auschwitz, when you never had grandparents, it makes you into a certain kind of person, and I hope that I'm that kind of person. Standing up, speaking out when I see some of the horrible things that are going on facing the Jewish people. And, you know, happy birthday, the State of Israel. What a remarkable country. I mean, if you really just sit back and think, this is a country of 9 million people only, 9.3 million people. This is a country that the UN in its annual, you know, they have this, like, happiest countries in the world. I mean, can you imagine that? Israel is the 12th happiest nation in the world, of close to 200 nations. This is a nation that is surrounded by enemies, always facing the challenge of those who want to annihilate her. Let's remember, Iran has said again and again, we want to destroy the State of Israel. So they are the happiest, you know, the 12th happiest group of people in the world. And the success of that country, guys, I mean, how do you explain it? I mean, 10% of the people of Israel work in high tech. 12% of the people are involved in education. By the way, that's the great secret of the Jewish people. It really is. It's very simple. Yeah. We're not smarter than anyone. Trust me, we're all the same. But, you know, when education is the most important thing in everyone's life, from the day, you know, I remember as a father, you know, I used to be at Barnes & Noble every single week buying books for my kids, whether they were reading them or not, you know, always buying books, reading, studying, and working. So the State of Israel, you know, God bless them. I mean, it's a remarkable place. You got, you know, when you go there and you look and you see, with all the complications and difficulties, and it's not perfect, you know, there are a lot of problems everywhere in the world. But what a remarkable country. So happy birthday, 73rd year.
Absolutely right. Dov Hyken on the Bernie and Sid show. You're right about the instilling the Israelis and the Jewish people instill education, respect, the concept of delay of gratification, all that stuff. And as far as Israel goes, yes, it's often been said they took an arid piece of land and turned it into an oasis, unbelievably, against all odds. And Dov Hyken, though, let me get into something topical here today, which is the Anti-Defamation League. Now, it used to be Abraham Foxman. They would fight all perceived and real injustices towards the Jews in the United States. Of late, though, the ADL, for example, with anti-Semitism in the Democrat Party, they were silent on that. And just recently, Tucker Carlson made some comments. He said that America should emulate Israel's policy on immigration. And the Anti-Defamation League and Jonathan Greenblatt came out, and he said that Tucker should be fired for saying that. Abraham Foxman, the now retired leader of the ADL, came out and said, no. Tucker Carlson is fine. He's not anti-Semitic. Leave him alone. So there's a rift. What to make of the Anti-Defamation League today in the United States?
Well, the Anti-Defamation League today with Greenblatt, who's a former official in the Obama administration, let's just remember that, he works for the Democratic Party. He should just get a job with the Biden administration and stop pretending that he is, you know, fighting for the Jewish people and protecting me. He's not protecting me. The ADL does not represent me. What they did with Tucker Carlson was so freaking outrageous.
All right.
I mean, it was such chutzpah to do what they did.
I knew you would know all about this. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, I've been watching Greenblatt getting involved in things way beyond the ADL. You know, not Tucker Carlson has to, get out of Fox. It's Greenblatt that's got to get out of the ADL as fast as possible.
No doubt.
Because otherwise we're not safe. We, the Jewish people, are not safe with Greenblatt at the ADL.
Nope, 100%. We are in total agreement.
That's great.
Yeah, we miss the old days of the ADL and the JDL, quite frankly, which I used to hang out with every now and then when I went to Solomon Schechter, the Yeshiva High School. So going back to that.
Oh, boy, don't get me into that. You know that.
I know.
I was involved in the Soviet Jewry movement. I was out on the streets fighting for the right of, I was fighting for human rights.
Yep.
For Jews in the Soviet Union. I was arrested 5 times in New York at the Soviet mission, you name it, fighting for our people. And everyone should fight for justice. That's the way we should be. Everyone should play a role. But, the ADL, forget about it. I mean, it's just, by the way, who decided at the ADL to get rid of Tucker Carlson? By the way, did they have a vote? Was it the board of directors?
No.
Was it the membership?
No.
Who the hell decided? One guy woke up in the middle of the night and wanted to be popular among progressive leftists and the Democratic Party. He decided Tucker Carlson must go? Who the hell is he?
There he is, Dov Hyken.
Right.
So going back to the Shabbos dinner, you met Gabriel, my son, and you know that Gabriel.
By the way, your kids are amazing, and I mean that. Your daughter, baby. I mean, she is smart, deep, thoughtful.
You.
I mean, you guys should have a lot of what we call, Sid and Bernie, nachas, a lot of nachas. That means pleasure. They are extraordinary kids.
Thank you.
And you and your wife deserve tremendous credit.
Well, as do you. Your family is beautiful, too. But, we talked about his bar mitzvah. You even offered to help him out. But you said, we're going to Israel in November to celebrate his bar mitzvah. And you said you would even go with us. So the question is, I've never been to Israel. I know a lot of Jewish people, my friends, who have never been to Israel. You would say, is it absolutely a must that every Jewish person at least once makes their way to Israel?
By the way, Bernie, if they go once, Sid, if they go once, they're going again. Because when you're there and you see, the stories in the newspapers, this and that, when you go there and you see what is going on in that country, you will be blown away. You will come back so proud, Jew or non-Jew. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, I am, after, 100 trips in my life, and I'll be back there in a couple of weeks. It is a remarkable nation. You will be blown away. The people are friendly. The people are warm. It is safe. So should everyone go at least once? Yes. You go once, you will automatically book your tickets for the next flight.
I love that. Hey, listen, Dove, it's great to have you on this celebratory day. You are such an inspirational figure for the Jewish people, such a wonderful man. Thank you for enjoying this day with us, and we'll talk to you and see you again real soon. Thank you, Dove.
L'chaim.
Sid and Bernie, thanks for doing this kind of show. It is remarkable, and it is beautiful, and you guys show the way, the leadership, and God bless both of you.
God bless you. That is the great Dove Hyken.
Yes. And thanks to John Katzimatidis for doing this.
Absolutely. He's wonderful, wonderful.
Great guy. Thank you. We got a lot coming up next hour, too. Jay Fiedler, last Jewish quarterback to win a playoff game in the National Football League. He'll join us. Bill O'Reilly, Henry Kissinger with the aforementioned John Katzimatidis, and three great guests in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Bernie and Sid, celebrating 73 years of Israeli independence. We'll be right back.
You may ask, why do we stay up there?
It's so good dangerous. Stuff here. Nice little run there between Heshy Ogenbaum and Dove Hyken. We've got an amazing 8 o'clock hour to come your way. But one of the guys, one of the people, I should say, that helped put this whole day together, he booked some amazing guests for our big show coming up on Stage 77, which you can watch live at WABCRadio.com between noon and 4. Also helped book guests throughout the day and continues to be John Katzimatidis' right-hand man for all of our major events. Mr. PR for John and the station is our really, really good buddy, Todd Shapiro. Happens to be Jewish, so congratulations on this big day for you.
Well, you know what? It's more of a team effort. It's great to be with my tribe here in the morning.
How you doing, Todd?
It really is.
Honestly, I've seen Todd on the elevator. I never met him. I don't even know who he was.
He's the man. He makes it all happen.
I mean, I know the name, but I in person, and we've been working here since July.
Yeah.
I don't even know him.
Usually I'm trying to use the bathroom when I'm in town. So I can come by. You know what? Let me tell you something. Being a fan of both of you for all these years and stuff, it's a great honor. And through John Katzimatidis to bring Greek Independence Day, to bring, you know, Columbus Day is coming, but, you know, to have St. Patrick's Day and to let our people go. Let our people go. Today. I mean, this morning we're going, there's bagels and lox from Bagel Boss. I mean, everyone just came. You know, we reached out to so many good people out there, from people in the Seder community to the, you know, Reform to Orthodox. Everyone came through and wanted to do something for ABC. Because, you know, with today's times with COVID, you know, last year's parade, you know, didn't happen.
No.
And you were the grand marshal for the parade 2 years ago,
yes.
Sid.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing how many people just want to help out and commemorate. It's called being a good Jew.
Yes. And I'll tell you, above and beyond what we're doing today, one of my most favorite events that we did together, you, John, us, all of it, was Thanksgiving. Standing outside of St. John's Church, handing out the turkeys to the homeless and the less than fortunate. And you guys did a great job booking everybody from Dwight Gooden to Earl of Pearl Monroe. I thought that was a great event that you helped put together as well, Todd.
Yeah, but you know what? They all knew you more than they knew anybody. All these sports guys, like, you know, Sid.
That's true.
I felt like I was in a Roman Coliseum or something.
Yeah.
Like, Sid, they were, like, hailing you. They're saluting you.
It was nice.
It was great. But you know what? It's great today. We have Art Shamsky coming. Art Shamsky, obviously, the 69 Met,
yep.
who also played for the Israeli team for many years.
Wow. Is that right?
He was played for the Israeli team, and I think he was their manager for many, many years. So he's coming down, I think, to the station today at 12 noon. But today's like an assortment. You're going to have dancing rabbis. You're going to have Jewish rappers. It's not going to be a traditional Jewish kind of thing where you sit there, you know, you're praying, you're sitting in temple, you think, oh, my God, not another hour. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun today. Yeah.
Already has been, really.
You know, this event center that John Katzimatidis put together over here is phenomenal, and it's going to be social distance where, you know, I mean, imagine dancing with rabbis, you know, rapping with, you know, it's just going to be so many different kind of things. You have people coming from the synagogue, you got cantors, you got rabbinical students coming from upstate, from, you know, from schools, from everything, from the Yeshiva University. people have really gotten together. You got stuff. You got Israeli falafels coming here. You got Second Avenue Deli coming here. We got pastrami. We got brisket.
Wow.
I mean, I think we're going to walk out of here. We're going to have to go to Weight Watchers
the next day.
Oh, my God. You know, some corned beef and some latkes, maybe, perhaps?
Let me tell you, there's nothing worse than Jewish heartburn. I think tomorrow should be national heartburn. The Jews suffer, but I think they suffer from the meal the day after. So I think that's not really a problem. But anyway, we can't thank you. And more important, you know, people have worked together. Mia has done a great job. Jennifer, Chad Lopez, Emily, George, everyone from Mr. John Casmatis, the whole staff is such a team that have gotten together to really make today happen. I mean, I think everyone's an honorary Jew or whatever you want to say, but everybody really came together today to make Israel Independence Day, from Dave, the program manager, just everyone here that's been involved. It's really a beautiful and a wonderful thing. And it's the 50th anniversary of, Fiddler on the Roof.
We opened with that, yes.
And they're alive today.
Isn't that amazing?
He was 30 years old when he did this show.
I know, he's still alive today. Well, listen, Todd, thank you for this great job. Thank you. That is a hell of a...
Sing along, Todd. Come on. Tradition.
Peter will be right back on Bernie and Sid. So, this band is the Counting Crows. This is a great song from the great album August and Everything After. The lead singer is a man named Adam Duritz, and by the way, he's Jewish.
You know she dances while his father plays guitar. She's sudden beautiful, and we all want something beautiful. Man, I wish I was beautiful.
Not only is Adam Duritz Jewish, but he also banged both Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston. So, how about that? He is brilliant. Guy is a poet. That's a great, great band. August and Everything After, the album Counting Crows, Mr. Jones. Big 8 o'clock hour coming up at 8:50. You're going to hear a conversation between John Catsimatidis and Henry Kissinger. You're not going to want to miss that. That's spectacular. It comes your way at 8:50, right after Bill O'Reilly at 8:40. But we've got our next guest following up on a day that's already been great with John Catsimatidis, Heshy Jorgenbaum, and Dov Hykind. Our next guest is a close personal friend, but he spent a lot of years as the starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. When Dan Marino retired, the Dolphins had no idea what they were going to do, and they brought in a kid named Damon Heward, who was supposed to replace Dan Marino as the next starting quarterback of the Dolphins. And then all of a sudden, this Jewish kid from Long Island pops up. He had been in Philadelphia, Minnesota, a few other spots. And Dave Wannstedt shocked the NFL world when he announced that, no, it's not going to be Heward. The next starting quarterback for the Dolphins is going to be Jay Fiedler. And all Jay did over the next 4 years was go 35-17 as a starter. And he's the last quarterback to win a playoff game for the Dolphins.
Wow.
And he's Jewish. And his family owns one of the great sleepaway camps in upstate New York. With that said, here he is, former Viking, Jaguar, Eagle, Dolphin, and Jets quarterback. Now, our good buddy Jay Fiedler. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Sid. How's everything going? Happy Israel Independence Day to you.
Well, happy and the same to you. And this is a question I know you've been asked many, many times. Now, I worked with some of the guys that you played with down in Miami, some that made some... I'll be honest, I'm not going to name names, but anti-Semitic remarks when they talked about some of their days with you, even though, again, you won nearly 70% of your games, you won a playoff game. What was it like playing quarterback in the NFL and being outwardly Jewish?
Well, look, to me, when I was out there, you know, I didn't want to designate myself as the Jewish quarterback and separate, myself from anyone else, that being said, you know, I didn't hide from it as well at all, and was certainly proud to say that I was in the NFL and I was Jewish and one of the very few that was able to make it there and attain that level of success. So in terms of relationships and everything in the locker room, I never felt any type of anti-Semitism. There wasn't a, we had some great relationships with guys, You know, I don't know if anyone would be outwardly that way with me, and you know, maybe they've said something to you, and you know, in hindsight, looking back or whatever. But I never felt that you know, within the organization or with anyone around you know, the league that I dealt with.
Well, that's good. Good to hear. Jay Fiedler on the Bernie and Sid Show, great quarterback from the NFL. Hey, Jay, have you ever been to Israel, or do you plan to go? And by the way, happy Israel Independence Day from me. But have you been to the Promised Land?
I have been. And, you know, I actually went a few years ago right after I got married. My wife, Molly's a huge Israeli supporter, and she had been to Israel probably, you know, 25, 30 times in her lifetime. And wanted to make sure that my first visit was going to be a great one. And, you know, we went and I had such a wonderful time. I mean, what a great country it is. You know, we went to Tel Aviv. We went to Jerusalem, did some tours around the Holy City, down to the Dead Sea, swam in there, floated in in the waters there. So it was just a wonderful trip. We did some tours up in the North Country as well. So, you know, we saw everything from Jerusalem north. We didn't venture south at all, but that'll be saved for the next trip out.
Jay Fiedler, former big-time quarterback for the Dolphins, also played in Minnesota, Jacksonville, the Eagles, and played with the Jets. We'll get to that story in a second. I remember this movie when I was growing up. It was School Ties. And this was a movie that had a very young, handsome, he was red hot at the time, Brendan Fraser. Remember this movie?
Yep.
He went to like this academy. He became the starting quarterback. He became friendly with all the teammates. And Matt Damon was like his first movie ever. And Matt Damon becomes his best friend. And then Matt Damon finds out that Brendan's going to be the quarterback and not him. And he gets jealous. And then he finds out that Brendan is Jewish. And the next thing you know, the whole team is insulting Frazier with Jewish insults. I always think about you, even though you say your stay in Miami and all that stuff wasn't bad and no one would have said stuff to you. But that movie reminds me of you.
Well, yeah, there are certain similarities. Certainly, you know, I didn't hide the fact that I was Jewish, you know, when I played. And, you know, that was part of the movie that, you know, Brendan Fraser's character, you know, tried to keep it secret. And then they found out, and, you know, but again, like I said, you know, my relationships, you know, that I had with teammates, with, you know, coaches and everyone, you know, they were great relationships. And, you know, I could even go back to my rookie seasons in Philadelphia. And, you know, I was in the locker room that, you know, certainly had a big impact from Reggie White, you know, the minister of defense. And he was the minister of defense, not because, you know, just because he was an amazing defensive player, but he was also an actual minister and a born-again Christian. You know, he had a lot of influence in the people in that locker room. Now, he wasn't there when I got there. He had just left a year or two before to Green Bay. But, you know, there was certainly a big, you know, born-again Christian community that Randall Cunningham was, you know, involved in, and a lot of other teammates. But, you know, what I found interesting was that all of those guys, as much as they, you know, would try and push a little bit and get me to come to Bible study, they had a very keen interest in Judaism as well and wanted to learn about, you know, our traditions and our, you know, holidays and everything there. So I thought there were just some great conversations that I had with teammates, helping to educate them about Judaism, because a lot of them, you know, grew up and went through life without even knowing a Jew.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was, you know, fun and interesting to me to, you know, help open their eyes and you know, introduce them to, you know, what a great community, you know, I am a part of.
Yes, some of these all of the born-again Christians are some of the most diehard Zionists you can find out there, celebrating Israel Independence Day on the Bernie and Sid Show on 77 WABC with former NFL quarterback Jay Fiedler. Jay, You run the Sports Academy at Brookwood Camps, a bunch of camps upstate, great camps. You had to close. You couldn't open last summer because of the pandemic. Yep. What's it looking like this year?
It's looking great. We can't wait to get back up and have our kids and our staff, back up at camp this summer. We're playing catch up, from being closed last year, but I don't think we've ever had as busy in April, March and April as we've had, these past few weeks. I think people are finally realizing that the summer is coming up, and everyone's been locked up for a year and a half now, and parents need a break. Kids need to get outside and socialize some more. The interest that's coming out right now is tremendous. And, we're that's looking good. Forward to having a full camp, and, we're filling up fast and can't wait to get back up there.
Well, not because I love your late father, Kenny, and your mother and your brother, Scott, who's he's always a pain in the ass. He's always accusing me of trying to big time him. I love him to death. And I love you, of course, and Molly.
I'm surprised he's not calling in right now.
I know. Why didn't you have me on? I know my brother played in the NFL. But in all seriousness, my daughter Ava went to that camp, and it was the best summer of her life. It's up in Glen Spain, New York, about 20 minutes from my mom's house in Monticello. And what Jay does is he'll bring up actual athletes, like during the football session, Chris Chambers, a great receiver for the Dolphins, Leo Mazzoni, pitching coach, Atlanta Braves. These are the types of folks. He has a broadcasting camp, brings up folks like Adam Schefter and all those types of guys. So it's a wonderful camp, Brookwood Camps. Check it out. That's who you should send your kid, this summer to Jay and Scott Fiedler and Brookwood Camps. It is great to talk to you. Thank you for celebrating with us, Jay, and thank you for your continued beautiful friendship. You the man.
Yeah, shalom.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sid. Bernie, thank you very much. And, again, anyone interested in learning more about the camp, they could go to our website, brookwoodcamps.com.
Brookwoodcamps.com. There he is, the former great Dolphin quarterback. Again, the last Jewish quarterback to win a playoff game in the NFL. That's a fact. His Miami Dolphins beat the Indianapolis Colts, and Jay Fiedler was the quarterback after Dan Marino. We'll take a short break. Lots more to come this hour. How about Lydia Reports, Bill O'Reilly, and John Katsimatidis with Henry Kissinger? All this hour on Bernie and Sid.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
And this report is sponsored by LifeVac. One child dies every 5 days from choking. It's a horrific statistic that you can actually prevent your world from changing in just minutes. And as a parent myself, protect your entire family with this simple device. Go to lifevac.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. Again, that's lifevac.net. Guys, we all heard the story about the BLM co-founder, Patrice Cullors, and how she amassed a multi-million dollar fortune, right? She came out with an Instagram post saying that she's done all these jobs and this and that. And then also BLM released a statement saying that they've only paid her since the organization's inception in 2013, $120,000. So it's kind of unusual how she was able to make so much money to buy so many properties. And, meanwhile, she's a Marxist. She's a socialist. Clearly, she's a fan of capitalism. And then in the meantime, I found this interview from Penn State that she did with a student. You know, it was virtual. It was recent. And she talks about how she doesn't say rioting. She calls it righteous indignation, the protesting. It comes out from a real place, and it's the only way people can voice their concerns. And she says, by the way, if you think it's all done by BLM protesters, that's not true. It can be agitators and a certain other type of people. Take a listen and hear what she said.
Largely, what we've recognized when vandalism and property is damaged during protests, that isn't often Black people. That oftentimes those are police instigators, and that oftentimes those are white supremacists who are causing more chaos. So we have to be really mindful before we go to judgment about what protests are happening and how they're happening.
That's funny. That is, they just lie to your face in the face of facts. Look, they sound like the people who were saying that the Capitol Hill protesters were actually Black Lives Matter and Antifa activists. So she's pulling that, and she should be called out on it. I think you're calling her out on it now, and she should be called out on it. I mean, she's a hypocrite. She's a liar, a Marxist, and she's really, really damaging the black community by this demonization of the police. I mean, that's the biggest crime that she's committed. Forget the hypocrisy and buying the homes and all that stuff. It's what they're doing to the black community by demonizing the police, by telling the people in the black and the kids in the black community that the cops are out to kill you. They're out to kill you. And that's what makes the kids maybe half of what they're thinking is, I got to run away from these cops. They're going to kill me because people like this idiot is telling them that.
I was watching some mainstream media reports, and not once did they correct the narrative, the fact that he wasn't pulled over for air fresheners. We've seen the video. There were no air fresheners. I mean, they don't say that he was pulled over for air fresheners, but they play that audio from him, from the mother, saying that she says it was air fresheners. And they don't it's not true. He had expired tags. They had a warrant out for his arrest for aggravated robbery. I mean, he held some, he robbed somebody, tried to choke somebody. And,
he tried to choke, Lydia, he robbed a black woman. A black woman,
right.
And the police came to that black woman's aid. They were doing the right thing. That's what they did. And that's what he was wanted for. And the cops were afraid that he might be in possession of a gun in that car. That's one of the reasons why that woman was so panicked with the taste. And she grabbed the wrong thing. But that's one of the reasons why she was afraid because of that, because the police went to protect a black woman from him with a gun. He robbed her. And that was the bottom line. That's what happened there. Yeah, and then there was
when they pulled him over.
Did you see all those pictures of him all over the place and videos as well, holding the pistol? Have you seen those pictures?
Oh yeah, flashing the wads of cash, and he made these comments online, "Come and get you." The bottom line is this guy should not be dead. He's a 20-year-old. He had his whole life ahead of him, but this was no like innocent angel they try to portray him as. And that's what's perpetuating the anger too. Like everybody is so angry and inflamed. And that's why we saw another night of rioting, because you have these lies that are being spread across the country. Call it for what it is. And then you even have AOC, Rashida Tlaib, and our own vice president fanning the flames.
Yeah. Really sickening, nauseating, I would say. And Barack Obama as well. All they have to do is say, urge the young black men of America is don't resist.
That's it. Comply, and there's a very good chance you will not die. Lydia, thank you. We've got such a busy hour. Bill O'Reilly coming up next, and then Henry Kissinger. So I believe we have a very nice steakhouse to thank for this morning's report.
Well, this report is actually sponsored by LifePak.
Oh,
when LifePak, child dies every
right.
5 days from choking, your world, it can change in just minutes. And as a parent myself, I have little Julia. I have one of these. Protect your entire family. Go to lifefact.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. Again, that's lifefact.net. I was thinking that interview that Katzmatidis has with Dr. Kissinger is probably going to be the last interview he's ever done in his life. I mean, this is pretty historic. I mean, Henry Kissinger on our airwaves, that's incredible.
Oh, it's huge, and it's going to come your way this hour. Thank you, Lydia. Right after Bill O'Reilly, follow Lydia on Twitter, at Lydia News, Instagram, at Lydia News 1. She's on 4 o'clock every weekday afternoon and sitting alongside John Katzmatidis at 5. By the way, Arthur, the gentleman that created LifePak, will be here later on today, too. It'll be our first chance to meet Arthur, who was a guest on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Nice, yes, he was.
Nice guy. So there it is, Bill O'Reilly and Henry Kissinger with John Katzmatidis. Your next two coming up. Thursdays are the highlight of the week on the Bernie and Sid show because, well, Bill O'Reilly is here. That's all you need to know. He was the best. He still is the best. He'll always be the best. Only place to get your news should be, and it is for Bernie and Sid, BillO'Reilly.com. He's got a really, really good column, no surprise, out today, which we recommend you read. It's titled A Trifecta of Chaos. His killing series continues to do incredibly well, obviously. The latest one, Killing the Mob. His book on Donald Trump is the best on any president ever. So anyway, here he is, our weekly Thursday guest. He's on 9 o'clock every night on this station as well. The genius, that is Bill O'Reilly. Good morning, Bill.
Wow, that's something. Now, I've been listening this morning, but I'm a little confused. Are you moving to Israel, Sid? Is that what's happening? Are you being
tomorrow.
Deported?
Yeah, tomorrow, that's
over?
It. Tomorrow I'm going home.
I was over there. And I found it one of the most fascinating trips that I have ever made. And I actually went to Egypt first, and then I crossed the Sinai like Moses. I wanted to have that Moses experience, although I brought food, so I didn't have to wait for the stuff to drop from heaven. I thought that might have been a little risky with me. And then I drove into Israel and then explored the whole town. I didn't get down to Eilat on the Red Sea, which I wanted to do. But I really recommend for all of WABC listeners, put that on your list. Because even if you're not Jewish, I mean, the history is just amazing. And then I decided to write a book called Killing the SS, out a few years ago, that not only went over that terrible Nazi era, but also got heavily into how Israel was formed and the difficulties of doing that. So I just want to say all that stuff. I'm glad you're not going to move over there, Sid, but visit if you can.
That makes one of us.
You know, the nice dinner we had a couple of weeks ago when me and Danielle met you at Peter Luger, you actually talked about Israel quite a bit because we told you that our son Gabriel is going to be bar mitzvah there, and you talked specifically, Bill, about some of your favorite stops in Israel or the towns that actually are on the water. You like that?
Yeah, well, Caesarea, obviously, is the Roman town, which really impressive ruins. I liked Haifa. I mean, it's a big port. You know, it's a bustling, it reminds me a little bit of Brooklyn, where all the ships are coming in and stuff like that. It was interesting, a lot of vibrance. But, you know, Tel Aviv is, I wouldn't spend a lot of time in Tel Aviv. It's not, it's just basically a commercial center. But Jerusalem, of course, you can spend 4 or 5 days easy, and then I told you where to stay, Sid, but I hope they're going to take your reservation there. I put in a good word for you.
Hey, Bill O'Reilly, that's nice what you said about Israel. And by the way, it is the birthplace of Christianity, so it's for everybody.
Yes, everybody, and the Dome of the Rock for Muslims as well.
No doubt. So, Bill, Sid alluded to your column at BillO'Reilly.com, a trifecta of chaos, some horrible things, really, really bad things happening to the country, and you lay them out in your column. It centers around Joe Biden's cluelessness. Please tell us about this column.
Well, it's always dark before the dawn. That's a cliche, but it's true. And, you know, a lot of people, I'm reading my mail from last night's No Spin News on BillO'Reilly.com. We had a lot of mail, as I did when I did cable television. And a lot of people are starting to give up. They're getting hopeless, and they're saying this is just an insane time in America, and it is, as the progressive movement seizes or attempts to seize power. And the latest, of course, is the introduction of legislation to pack the Supreme Court from 9 to 13 judges. And that would mean that Joe Biden, who can barely get out of the White House and walk to the car, would appoint 4 new judges. That's what they want. And, of course, they'd all be progressive far-left judges. Well, it's not going to happen. But they're going to try. They're going to try.
Wouldn't they need 60 votes for that, though? Just to clear that up for
us. Yeah, but right? they would, but it's unconstitutional anyway, in my opinion,
right?
Because you'd have to give a reason. You can't make it into a political body the way the progressives want. They just want to be another political body. All right, the founder said, look, we have already 2 political bodies, the executive branch with the president and the legislative branch with the House and the Senate. We don't want a third. We want that to be independent. And now, you can make a very strong argument that the Supreme Court justices are ideologues and they vote a certain way. But that's not always the case. And I'd say it's less than 50%. You're always surprised. But just to stack it with politically minded judges just ruins the whole country. So getting back to the column, my hypothesis, word of the day, how about that, huh?
I like
is that all of this far left stuff is going to lead to a ferocious backlash against the Progressive Party. And that it's gonna, number one, cripple the Biden administration in 2022, the midterms, and then in the next presidential election, the Democrats are going to be at a tremendous deficit because the Democratic Party is now looked upon as an extremist party by anybody paying attention. They want to wipe out capitalism, replace it with quasi-socialism. They don't want any kind of restraint in the Senate at all on lawmaking. Now they want 13 judges in the Supreme Court. This is radical stuff. And then you get into the social area, where they've all embraced the cancel culture. They love that, all right? They don't want due process. We saw that with Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. And rioting is, you know, it's all right. You know, we're not so down on rioting. You don't get a big stop it and don't do it. To Biden's credit, he did say that in the Minnesota situation. But he's not making a, not going to do a public service announcement on it. So to me, fair-minded Americans, those are non-fanatical. They have to be seeing that there's danger in this Biden administration.
You know, I'll tell you something, Bill. I'm admitting I feel guilty. I feel guilty because as soon as I saw this Dante Wright story, of course, I'm human, feel badly, the kid's gone. But as soon as I saw this story, before I knew any specifics, I would have bet my whole month's salary that this was not just some really nice kid who they dragged out of medical school or out of a church and decided to go roughshod on the kid and eventually kill him. I said to myself, this is going to come out and this kid's not going to be any good. And again, I feel guilty thinking that, but maybe it's because time and time again, that's been the case. And once again, that is the case. So here we are. We must preface it by saying he shouldn't be dead, blah, blah, blah. We get that. But here we are once again, turning the country upside down for somebody that, quite frankly, wasn't worth it.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I think there's two parallel tracks here. So the 20-year-old was certainly a troubled individual, and he had a very serious law enforcement problem. And that is that he was charged with a felony and did not show up for his hearing. And the felony involved a firearm, an illegal firearm. So you're right in saying that this is not some innocent guy. And then he tried to flee, all right, when the police found out that he had the outstanding warrant. Now, the corporate media loathe to report that. That's a huge story. They don't want to tell the American people exactly what happened. So that's one track. The other track, though, is very troubling, that you have a 26-year-old police veteran who apparently can't tell the difference between a handgun and a taser.
That's bad.
Yeah. And fires, even if it were a taser, why would you fire a taser when you could hit the guy and he's in a moving car and that could cause all kinds of chaos and death and destruction? Why would you do that when you know who the guy is? He's not getting away. I mean, he can drive away, but you can confront him in a much more controlled circumstance. So people say, well, police make mistakes, and it's true. And my grandfather, as you guys know, was an NYPD, and I am very supportive of the nation's law enforcement community. But you have a responsibility if you become a police officer with a deadly weapon on your hip. And that responsibility is you do not make mistakes with the deadly weapon. Because if you do, you're going to be charged. Just like if you're in a car, all right, and if you're driving along and there's a little child in the street and your foot accidentally hits the gas, not the brake, and you run over and kill the child, you're going to be charged.
Absolutely. You know, part of it, of course, Bill O'Reilly, is that the good, experienced police officers on the veterans on the Minneapolis or the Brooklyn Center, police department, they fled, they left. They don't have experienced cops. That's part of the problem. But it's sad that the best we could say about our president is that he said, "Don't riot." And then you have other people like the squad people. But not only that, Kamala Harris, Barack Obama, who could wield a lot of influence in the black community. He actually assigned this shooting to the motives to racism himself. I mean, he's throwing gas on the fire. I mean, there's nobody reasonable on the other side at all, it doesn't seem.
Well, what Mr. Obama is doing is trying to put himself in a position to say, I'm the smartest guy, and I want to reimagine. He used that word. reimagine policing. All right. Now you look at what the deuce does that mean? All right. What it means is that African Americans, generally speaking, believe they are not treated the same way as Caucasian Americans by the police. That is the belief in the African American community. And that's a fact. That's what they believe. All right? So, the President Obama says, well, I want to change that. I want to reimagine policing in a way that the police would not be so confrontational toward not just blacks, but all people who are misbehaving. That's what he wants. Well, he had 8 years to do something about law enforcement. He did nothing. Nothing.
No.
All right. All he did was criticize the cops in Cambridge, Massachusetts, who rousted Professor Gates, which was wrong. Those Harvard guys should not have done that. All right. But that's it. There were no reforms, policing reforms or federal law enforcement reforms put forth by Barack Obama and his administration. So, you know, it all comes back to me, a very simple, logical man, going, if you failed to improve American policing in 8 years, why are you doing this now?
Good question.
Right. If you've got some concrete proposal under the reimagining column, let's hear it.
And let's say let's reimagine not resisting, you know, the right. police.
But that's always going to happen. So you're always going to have elements, it doesn't matter, but skin color doesn't matter. You're always going to have elements that are going to resist the police. Look, on the same day that Dante Wright was killed, three Georgia police officers were shot.
That's right.
The same day.
Yep.
By two African Americans at 2 a.m. because the police wanted to pull over their car, which was going 110 miles an hour. So you're always going to have that. And that then tells the fair-minded American, these police officers have to have enough force to defend themselves, and they have to be very, very cautious when they confront anyone, no matter what your skin color is. So don't give me, we're going to take policing, the law enforcement guns away, and they can have, maybe they can have pepper spray. I mean, come on.
No.
You know?
No, listen, it's, I hate to use this terminology, but it's a war out there, and the police need to be able to have the right to ammunition, if you will, to protect themselves, and most importantly, us. Another great appearance, Bill. Once again, BillO'Reilly.com. That's the place to be, the only place to be. The column today, A Trifecta of Chaos. His book, Killing the Mob, doing great. All the Killing series does great. And again, and we mean this, Bill, this is the highlight of the week, this time Thursday mornings. We love you, pal. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, you're welcome, guys. Just a fast plug. Killing the Mob comes out May 4th. If you pre-order on BillO'Reilly.com, we give you 50% off Killing Crazy Horse.
Oh, that's
always fun to talk to you guys.
Thanks
you,
Bill.
Me in.
Thank
right.
you. That's a
Bye.
Great. That is a great deal. Order Killing the Mob, which Bernie loved.
Yeah,
right,
I mean,
now
you're going to learn things that'll blow you away.
Yeah, and you get half off on Killing Crazy Horse. We'll take a break. When we get back, this is one you're not going to want to miss. This is an unbelievable, unbelievable opportunity that John Catsimatidis took advantage of on this 73rd Israeli Independence Day celebration. Our boss and owner, John Catsimatidis, talks to Henry Kissinger. And you're only going to hear it right here on Bernie and Sid next.
Good morning, America. This is John Catsimatidis, and today is Israeli Independence Day. And it's a special day in history. Israel is 73 years old, and it's America's most important ally in the Middle East. With us today is Dr. Henry Kissinger. He was part of history. He was there when everything happened. Dr. Kissinger, how are you this morning?
I'm well, and I'm glad such a program is being conducted.
Well, WABC Radio is celebrating all day long on Israel's Independence Day, 73 years.
Tell us about when Israel was formed. I understand your family fled Nazis in 1938.
That's correct. We left. We left Germany because of Nazi persecution in 1938, and came to the United States.
And tell us about when you were with President Nixon, and you were part of taking care of world history and policy. Tell us your memories about that.
Well, in 1973, the Arab neighbors attacked Israel on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the Israeli year, and when most of the Israelis were in synagogues, and they gained some initial successes, and so this was an attempt. The United States made it clear that it would support Israel from the first day on, and we started supplying Israel with military equipment starting with the initial period.
And the United States and Israel is more one of the United States' most important allies in that area. Tell us about all the Jared Kushner made peace with the Arabs and with Israel. Were you proud of Jared Kushner? How do you feel?
I think Jared Kushner conducted a really extraordinary diplomatic campaign. He convinced some of the key Arab states to separate the issue of the future of Palestine from the immediate issues of improving the life of the Arab populations under their immediate control. And he managed to gain a recognition by the United Arab Republic and later on other Arab states of Israel, and still leaving open the possibility of a later negotiation with Israel. It was a very successful effort on which we can still build in the future.
What do you see in Israel's future? Do you feel that the Arab states will continue to make peace with them? And how do you feel about Iran?
I think Iran, under its present government, is a permanent threat to stability in the region, and even more so to the security of Israel. And they are in the process of creating a nuclear capability, so they are a major factor for instability in the region. And Israel has very courageously stood up against it.
And you feel that Israel, is there any possibility that you think the nuclear weapons are going to be in Iran's hands in the future?
Every American administration has declared that they would oppose that. And I have every expectation that we will continue to do so. But it's one thing to oppose it in principle, and another to take actual action to prevent it. And that's the big challenge in the nuclear negotiations with Iran.
Would Israel do what they have to do to make sure Iran doesn't continue with their nuclear program?
Well, they have repeatedly stated that they would not allow an Iranian nuclear program. And if they're driven to extremes, they may even use military force. But it's not their first choice.
What else would you like to tell all Americans about 73 years of Israel's independence this Thursday, today? And how do you feel? Do you feel good about it?
Well, what is so amazing in the history of Israel, it's that based initially on a gradual immigration of several hundred thousand Jewish people who were driven out of their homelands and then gradually expanding it to several million, they have maintained themselves in the face of tens of millions of Arab opponents, and that they have done so by democratic means and by a very courageous foreign policy. So the existence of Israel and the American support of Israel are a miracle of foreign policy, and we should therefore congratulate Israelis on this day for having achieved so much in a relatively little time.
And that's why WABC Radio is conducting an all-day celebration commemorating Israel, one of our most valuable allies. Can I ask you one last question? China, you are the world's expert on China. Is there going to be conflict in the future on China with the United States?
I think it is very important for the United States to maintain its position in the Middle East and to defend the freedom and independence of Israel. With respect to China, we must maintain the position that no country should achieve hegemony in the world, but also that China and the United States should attempt to negotiate an outcome of peaceful coexistence. And that is one of the great tasks of our current administration.
That would be a wonderful thing, because you and President Nixon put the China and the United States together, and we have been competitors, we have been allies, competitive allies for many, many years, and we hope for peace for many, many more years.
Well, that is my hope also, and we are the two greatest industrial nations in the world, and a military conflict between us would have disastrous consequences. And so I have favored negotiations as an essential step, and I hope and believe that the administration is attempting that as well. And I have to leave you now, I'm afraid.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kissinger. And thank you, and God bless you. And God keeps you on this earth because of your wisdom. And we need you, and the United States needs you, and the world needs you.
Thank you so much. The best to you and your family.
Thank you, Dr. Kissinger.
any lane there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure.
We're supposed to talk to Dov Kotler, CEO of the biggest bank in Israel, but we're having trouble contacting him yet. He's telling John he's waiting on our call, so we'll see if that happens. Also coming up at the 925 segment, Tova Feldshuh. You guys know who Tova is. Been nominated for Broadway's Tony Award 4 times. Best Actress in 1976 for Yentl. 2004 for Golda's Balcony, her one-woman show about Golda Meir. Best Actress in a Musical in 1979 for Sarava. And Best Actress in a Featured Role in 1989, Lend Me a Tenor.
Tova's here now.
Yeah.
And I believe we have the Mr. Kotler is on the line.
We do. He is the CEO of the biggest bank in Israel, board member of the Union Bank of Israel. Very impressive man. And here we are on this Israeli Independence Day celebrating 73 years. Dov, it's great to have you, pal. How are you?
Good morning, Sam. How are you, Sydney?
I'm very well, thank you. Where are you in Israel this morning? What part?
Well, I'm in Tel Aviv enjoying a wonderful weather.
Now, John tells me that you're in Tel Aviv now, Dov, but not that long ago, you actually were in the same exact building me and Bernie are in right now, 800 Third Avenue. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. I did have an office on the 37th floor, 800 Third Avenue, and you have a great steakhouse across the street.
Yes.
Absolutely right. we're looking at it right now. Smith and Walensky, Mr. Dov Kotler. Hey, listen, help us with the pronunciation of Bank Hapoalim. Can you say it for us, please, for a second?
Glad. The Hapoalim is in Hebrew, the laborers. So, because the bank was founded 100 years ago. By the way, I listened to your show this morning, early in the morning. Understood from you and John that WABC 77 is also celebrating this year 100 years old. So happy anniversary to you, sir.
Absolutely, absolutely. As we celebrate Israel Independence Day here on the Bernie and Sid Show with Dov Kotler, Bank Hapoalim CEO. Hey, Mr. Kotler, let me ask you this question. This is Bernie here. Israel, speaking of, you're the CEO of the big bank there. Israel, of course, had the vaccine. The economy was down, but Israel is killing it right now, if I'm not mistaken, with the COVID and with the economy. Am I wrong?
No, you are absolutely correct. We are fortunate that the authorities moved very quickly with the purchase and distribution and of the vaccine. And this had a very great positive impact on the social and business mood in Israel. As a matter of fact, about 5 million out of 9 million population have been vaccinated twice, which is more than 60%, and we are happy to be back on business.
Right. You know, Dov, it's funny. I talk to my friends and family that spend time in Israel. They tell me they feel safer in Israel than they do in Brooklyn, because they have to know that there's a lot of folks here that for some reason, because they don't really know what's going on, they still kind of think of Israel as a place, if you go out for pizza, for example, the pizza place may blow up, you know, this ongoing war between the Jews and the Palestinians that never really seems to go away. And yet folks that travel to Israel often, and folks like you, Dov, that live there, are constantly telling me, we don't live in fear at all. In fact, we feel safer here than in the United States. Is that true?
Yes, indeed. Let's all remember the story from the Bible about David and Goliath, which illustrates the fact that a small country like Israel is facing a very hostile surrounding. However, over the years, we learned to cope with this threat. And luckily, we are in a safer place today than ever. So, yes, sir, you can buy pizza easily and safer. Yep. Yep. I don't want to say safer, but at least as safe as in 800 South Avenue.
Yeah, absolutely. Dov Kotler, CEO of Bank Hapoalim in Israel, calling us from Israel. And, Dov, I just have to say the existence of the State of Israel is a testament to the courage, to the resourcefulness, to the toughness of the Jewish people. I'm going back to Israel and independence, after which they were actually invaded by five surrounding countries, as you point out, hostile countries, five countries with full armies, and they repel them. And yet, and continue to exist, not just survive, now thrive, the state of Israel.
Yeah, but we should see that we are in a different area today, especially after the Abraham Accord. We are in a much more optimistic surrounding today after we have signed agreement with UAE, Bahrain, and Morocco. I took the lead to promote the CEO of the bank to promote relationship with the financial institution in UAE and Bahrain. I was the first one
wow.
to visit them after the Abraham Accord, and it was a great experience, and we hope to facilitate the business sectors in all parties in the world to collaborate and do more business, and we see the beginning of new business from from UAE already.
Doe, by the way, is a very handsome man. He looks like that the actor Clooney. He looks a little bit like George Clooney.
You're right about that.
He's a handsome guy.
I don't know if it's Sid O'Bani gave me the compliment, but I do thank you very much for this compliment. Can I tell you a secret?
Yes.
Is it Barney or Sid, by the way?
This is Sid. Yeah.
Sid, look, thank you very much for your compliment. And I will tell it immediately to my wife. But
all right, so you're
there you go.
Unavailable.
Right, but listen, a very successful man.
We are married 41 years. Happily,
oh, God bless you, 41 years.
Yes. But to tell you the truth, it's a picture that was taken 10 years ago while I was much younger, and I'm not publishing any update so I can get that to compliment from you guys.
You got it. Your femo, it is what I would say to you, that picture. Very nice. Hey, and I think John is on the board of this bank. It's a very successful bank. Dove is it's the biggest bank in Israel. He oversees it around the whole world. You know, on the way out, Dove, you talked about these great peace treaties that Israel has done with some of these Arab countries, and you can't talk about any of that without giving credit to former President Donald Trump. There was no better president to Israel in the history of that office, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, as he promised, recognizing the Golan Heights as a part of Israel, no more money late at night, middle of the night, to Hamas, like Barack Obama did. All these things that Donald Trump did that was so great for the state of Israel, him and Bibi got along like best friends. I wonder, though, the new administration, do you folks in Israel have the same confidence that Biden and his folks can be even half of what Donald Trump was to your country?
First of all, let me share you a secret that while I was flying to Bahrain, I was accompanied by his special messenger of Donald Trump that was with me in a very small delegation. So certainly it was a big assistance from these administrations. Let's not forget that we are talking about interest, not only personalities, and I believe it's to the best interest both of the states and Israel to have the best relationship, and I hope that the interest will be stronger than the personalities.
Very well said. CEO of Bank Hapoalim, Dov Kotler. Dov, thank you for appearing on the Bernie and Sid Show on WABC. Happy Israeli Independence Day, and thank you and Godspeed over in the Promised Land.
Thank you very much, and hopefully you will be in a safer zone, too. I can visit you in 800 Third Avenue shortly.
All right. We'll see you on Third Avenue, and I'll be in Israel for my son's bar mitzvah in November. So until then, todah rabah. Thank you,
Mr. Rosenberg, let me know up front, and we will take care of you gladly.
All right, great. Can't wait to meet you. I'm going to do that. I'll reach out to you, Dov. Thank you so much, Dov Kotler, here on Bernie and Sid. When we get back, once again, nominated for 4 Tony Awards, Emmy Awards, a really, really big star, Tova Felcher joins Bernie and Sid on this Israeli Independence Day celebration.
Oh my God. Papa Streisand.
Wow. Well, I played this because she played Yentl, of course, and our next guest nominated for a Tony for her appearance as Yentl. Barbara can still sing, I got to tell you. By the way, I have to tell you that when this show...
This is a tape.
Well, I know, yes. when the show is over with me and Bernie, I'm going to stick around and do the 10 to 11 hour with Joan Hamburg. This is a beauty. Coming up at 10:30 this morning, me and Joan will interview Dr. Ruth.
Oh, that's great. You had her in studio once.
You and I, it was great with her.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lead Joan into this really, well, I don't know, uncomfortable path for Joan and Ruth to have a conversation.
Oh, no. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. No, you know, Dr. Ruth was present in Germany during Kristallnacht.
She was. She actually served in the Israeli army.
Yeah.
She's no joke. So it'll be me and Joan from 10 to 11. Then I'll go solo from 11 to noon. And then I'll host the festivities on stage 77 from noon to 4. And then they'll bury me in some Jewish cemetery at 4:30.
Well, yes, after we sit shiva for a little bit.
Right. Our next guest is a big star, Tova Feldsch. Did mention Yentl, but she has been nominated for 4 Tony Awards, Emmy Awards, the whole thing. She's a big star. Here she is celebrating Israeli Independence Day with us, the very talented Tova Feldsch. Tova, good morning. How are you?
Hello, Tova.
Good morning. Honored to be on the show for the first time in my life. I'm absolutely great. And bravo, Israel, and happy birthday, Israel.
We are honored to have you, too. My friend Cindy Groves, your friend, too. Cindy reached out to me and said, do you want Tova? And I said, of course, absolutely. So it has been quite a career, Tova, all those Tony Award nominations, including Yentl. Broadway is shut down right now, but there seems to be some hope that it may be back, maybe even as early as late summer, early fall. What are your thoughts on that? And how are these young folks, which you were once, how are they staying afloat financially?
I don't know how they're staying afloat financially. I know how I stayed afloat financially, which is that I wrote a memoir called Lilyville, Mother, Daughter, and Other Roles I've Played, about my relationship with my mother, who lived till over 103.
Wow.
And was head of recruiting membership, vice president of membership for Westchester County for Hadassah. We always lived a very Jewish life, socially, culturally, and it reflected in my career from Yentl to Golda. And my mother was hilarious. She used to say, when she came to see me as Prime Minister Golda Meir, she said, you know, Tova, I rate your parts by how you look. Levi was a 10. Golda Meir, 0.
That's funny.
That is funny.
She was a riot, and this book has just been released by Hachette, and it's on April 13th. So 13 is a great number for us guys. It's the number where the boys are bar mitzvahed, and even the girls are bat mitzvahed. I was the only bat mitzvahed Quaker Ridge School. I actually write about that back in the 60s. And in those days, we were not permitted to touch the Torah. We only could be there Friday nights to do the Haftorah. It was what I call Judaism light, or bat mitzvah light. And nowadays, the girls get full privilege, at least in the Reform and the conservative movement. So that makes me very, very happy.
Beautiful.
And it would make Ruth Bader Ginsburg happy, and it would make Golda Meir very happy, and it would make Ruth Vestheimer very happy, I think.
That's great. The actress Tova Feldsch on the Bernie and Sid Show on 77 WABC as we celebrate Israel Independence Day. And yes, the book is Lilyville, Mother, Daughter, and Other Roles I've Played. And, of course, you played, as you mentioned, Golda Meir, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Yentl, et cetera, et cetera. Let me ask you this question, Tova, as we celebrate Israel Independence Day. Have you been to the Promised Land?
Oh, 7 times.
Seven times. I mean, so tell us your thoughts. I mean, the State of Israel, its existence, a tribute to the courage, the strength, the tenacity, the toughness of the Jewish people. I mean, it's an oasis in the middle of a desert. They turned it into that. So tell us how proud you are of it. Tell us your thoughts on Israel Independence Day.
Well, I've had the honor of playing these extraordinary women who, of course, wanted to create, that would be Golda, and maintain the Jewish state. You know, Golda got her gist about having a Jewish state when she when she escaped Milwaukee, as she would say. She was valedictorian of the eighth grade, and her parents wanted her to work in their little store and not go on to high school. And in the middle of the night, she took a train to Denver to live with her older sister, Shayna, who had contracted tuberculosis. So she had to go to Denver, Colorado for the cure. And it was there, among the vast, vast lands of Denver, that she met these Jewish intellectuals who would talk about the state of the international Jewish community. And that's when she said, like my mother had, my mother loved Frank Sinatra, Golda Meir loved Ben Gurion, and she got that Zionist bug.
Wow.
Went to Israel, worked on a kibbutz, and of course our beloved, and then eventually her firstborn child, Bernie and Sid, were not her actual children. Her firstborn primogenitor was the state of Israel. That was her baby. That was her baby. And just like Queen Elizabeth does the best she can by the UK, duty first, so did Golda Meir. She never asked for the prime ministership. The president had a heart attack. They asked Golda to please consider becoming prime minister, and she had a unanimous vote to make her prime minister. When she went to the prime minister's house to see where she was going to live, she said, oh, my God, what do I need this for? So she was a real utopian socialist. She was, when I went to her home in Ramat Aviv and I was with her children and grandchildren and researching the part, her home was very modest. It was like a two-family home in Queens, not even Brooklyn, Queens, I'm telling you.
Oh, that is great.
Her room was smaller than a California closet, so she really walked the walk. And the other person did was, of course, Ruth K. Westheimer, because she was an orphan of the Holocaust. And by being an orphan, she was then taken to Switzerland, and from Switzerland, and when she finished the war, they gave her a certificate. She could be a domestic. They said, you are now trained to be a domestic, a housemaid in Switzerland. She said, thanks, but no thanks, and went to Palestine, and of course was trained by the Haganah and was an ace sniper.
Yes. She was like Chris Kyle with the female anatomy. I would ask you this, though, Tova Felcher. By the way, you're adorable. And now I'm only upset now that you didn't come into the studio so we could meet you in real person than over the phone. But
next time.
Okay, good. You played all these wonderful women, and you've talked about a variety of women during this conversation. Is there a lady out there in any genre, any realm, that Tova Felcher would love to play?
Well, I have news for you, and it's an honor to share it with you.
Oh, good.
One of the women I want to play is Ruth K. Westheimer. So I'm going out to California on April 30th. I'm going into rehearsals with the North Coast Rep, and they are going to film me as Dr. Ruth.
No! Is that really true?
It's true.
Oh, my God. That's true. So funny. No wonder you're so good at doing her voice.
That was yes. How tall are you? Are you going to have to jump in a dryer to emulate her?
I'm 5 feet. She's now 4'7".
Oh, it's close.
Okay, that's
it's
not bad. Close. That's good.
But are you actually going to do her whole shtick, all the sexual stuff and all of that?
I do what the playwright writes for me, and she talks about how are you? It's good to see you. Are you masturbating? It's all like one, like, no lot.
That is,
oh my God.
You nailed it. You nailed it.
You have to come. Promise me and Bernie you'll come in here in studio live and do some of that with us, please.
I would love to do it. I'd be honored to do it. Wow. And she is a magnificent person. She's a big supporter of Lilyville. The minute my book came out on Tuesday, she tweeted all over the place saying to buy it. And my book, my book is about the mother-daughter relationship, and here we are facing Mother's Day. So I want every Jewish mother and every Jewish daughter to consider taking this book to your heart and wow, reading it. It's constructed, Bernie, and said it's constructed like a play. Instead of having chapters, I have scenes. I wrote it in three acts with two intermissions. And instead of having a prologue, I have an overture. Instead of having an afterword, I have exit music. And I acknowledge everyone who helped me get this book published and get this done in a cast party. I celebrate them at a cast party at the very end of the book. Wow. So I'm very excited about it. And it deals with the strength, of course, of the Jewish women I've played. It talks all about and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and Deanna Monroe, who was not Jewish, but still she was quite a leader in The Walking Dead. And I'm very excited about it. It's about a parent-child relationship. It's just not another celebrity autobiography.
Right. Go follow.
Totally, I was interested it's the mother-daughter, which goes deeper. And all of you have mothers. It could be parent-child. So I'm very excited about it. Ruth is very excited about it. I was with her yesterday. I asked her to walk for me, and I asked her to dance with me. You know, Ruth can still waltz, so we waltz.
You'll enjoy the conversation with me and Ruth and Joan Hamburg coming up at 10:30. Go follow Tova.
I love Joan Hamburg.
Of course you do. Of course, who doesn't? Yeah. Tova's on Twitter at Tova with a V. That's T-O-V-A-H with a V. Tova, you were wonderful. You were great. Best of luck with the book. Best of luck playing Dr. Ruth. And please come visit me and Bernie in studio. Yes. Thank you so much.
And happy.
It would be wonderful. Thank you, guys.
Happy
you.
Israeli Independence Day as well.
Happy Israeli Independence Day.
Thank you, Tova. You were great. 1-800-848-WABC. That's the number. We need a contestant for Beat Bernie. Today will be an Israeli-themed Beat Bernie. That's very, very exciting. Great job by Matt Meany as always. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. $100 gift card and a Barry House coffee mug at stake. Beat Bernie, the Israeli edition, is coming up next.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Quick shout out to my friend Randy Thomas, talking about Tony Awards, and her husband, Arnie. Arnie sends me nice messages every morning. Arnie, thank you for listening. Beat Bernie, our contestant today is out of Elizabeth, New Jersey. He's an attorney. His name is Howard. Howard, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Sid?
I'm good, buddy. What kind of law do you practice?
I work for the government.
Ah, very good. Okay. My wife, of course, is an attorney, and some of my dearest friends are attorneys, too. So, nice to have you today. Wish you the best of luck on this Israel independence-themed Beat Bernie. Are you ready to go?
I am ready to go.
Here we go, Howard. What is the currency in Israel?
That would be the shekel.
Yes. Howard, number two, who was elected Prime Minister of Israel in 1969 and became the world's second elected female leader in modern times? Justice Custer.
Golda Meir.
That's right. Howard, what is the name of the rocky plateau in southwestern Syria with a political and strategic significance which was seized from Syria in the closing stages of the 1967 war?
It would be the Golan Heights.
Yes! Very good, Howard. Is the population of Israel closer to A, 9 million, B, 19 million, C, 29 million?
9 million.
A. Yes, as stated by Dove Hyken earlier this morning. And in your attempt to go perfect, Howard, you've been great. Israel has borders with four countries: Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and what other country?
Lebanon, let's see, Syria, yeah. Jordan, and Egypt.
Yes! Oh, you are a bad, bad man, Howard. No joke. That is a great job. You're femme-old. Congratulations.
Thank you.
5 for 5. So Bernie can't win today, but Howard can certainly win. Bernie, if you get all 5 right today, you tie.
Wow.
That's how good Howard was. Howard on hold?
Yo, Howie's on hold.
Bernie's ready to go. Bernie, what is the currency in Israel?
Shekel.
Very good. Number two, Bernie, who was elected Prime Minister of Israel in 1969 and became the world's second elected female leader in modern times?
We just talked about her. From Milwaukee, Golda Meir.
Very good, Bernie. What is the name of the rocky plateau in southwestern Syria with a political and strategic significance which was seized from Syria in the closing stages of the 1967 war?
That would probably be the Golan Heights.
Very good. Very good, Bernie. Very good. Is the population of Israel closer to A, 9 million, B, 19 million, or C, 29 million?
For sure, 9 million.
Yep. And in your attempt to tie Howard, both going perfect on the day, Bernard, Israel has borders with four countries: Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and what other country?
It would be Egypt.
Both of these guys are perfect today. Bernie, say hello to Howard from Elizabeth, New Jersey.
What's up, Howard?
Hi, Bernie. I'm impressed by your Israel knowledge.
Oh, yeah, I'm all over it, man. I read like 2 books on the creation, the father of modern-day Israel, Theodor Herzl. I mean, I know it all. But how about you? How about you, Howard? I'm impressed with your knowledge. I mean, where does it come from?
Well, I'm a Jewish American, so it sort of comes with the birth certificate.
Very good. Nice. David Ben-Gurion, of course, the first prime minister, and Chaim Weizmann, the first president. But overlooked a lot of times is this Theodore Herzl, who actually, you know, because of the Dreyfus situation in France, he was actually a Hungarian journalist. And he was the guy who said, look, we can't assimilate here in Europe. We have to have our own place back in, what was then termed Palestine. And he was right. And it came to fruition about 50 years later.
That's right. And by the way, guys, did you know that Albert Einstein was offered the job as the first president of Israel? He turned it down.
Is that right?
Wow. Why?
Yeah. I think he wanted to stay in America and stay in Princeton. He didn't want to, you know, move to Israel.
It was a big risk at the time.
Yeah, it was. Well, listen, Howard.
Tax reasons. He didn't want to pay Israeli taxes.
That's right.
Great job today. Thank you for playing today's game. Happy Israeli Independence Day, and God bless you. Thank you so much.
Same to you. Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach to you too, my friend.
Shalom, my brother.
We will talk to a chief cantor, both in Tel Aviv and here in the United States on Fifth Avenue in New York. Big-time guy here on the Bernie and Sid Show as we wrap up this Israeli Independence Day celebration.
Beat Bernie. Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
All right, been a great morning with a lot of really, really good guests. We close it out with one of the great voices. Tremendous candor. This is him right now. This is Joseph Malavany. You hear him? Sounds really good.
I love it.
Thank you.
Worked in Tel Aviv, worked here on Fifth Avenue, and he's our last guest for the next 7 minutes or so on this morning show. Joseph, Chag Sameach, happy Israeli Independence Day. How are you?
Fine, thanks very much. Chag Sameach to you too, and Chag Sameach to all the world.
Yes.
It's a great day.
It is a great day. It's great to have you here. You know, my father passed away in July. And one of the things... That's okay, thank you. One of the things, my dad grew up in a very Orthodox home in Coney Island as a child. Mm-hmm. And then he married my mother. She's Jewish, but basically Goyim. And we ended up celebrating Christmas. It was a whole mess. But at the end of his life, the last couple of years, he was really proud of the fact that in our little shul up in Conneaugh Lake, New York, he was the shofar blossom. Every year he blew... And I've got beautiful pictures of my dad blowing the shofar. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He loved that. So when I see you performing in shuls, that's the type of stuff that my father, at the end of his life, enjoyed most.
That's absolutely wonderful. So number one, I invite you to come to the Fifth Avenue Synagogue, 5 East 62, anytime. Check with me because sometimes I'm away, but whatever. That's number one. Number two, you're talking about the shofar, the ram horn. That is something, an instrument which is just unbelievable. And the idea of Israel's Independence Day comes from the prophets in the Bible. And the main one says, V'haya b'yom ahu, it will be on that day, a great shofar will be blown, and all the ingathering from all over the world of Jewish people will come to the land of Israel. And when you said that, I got the shivers in me. I got the chills.
You know, I can't believe Chief Cantor Joseph Malavany.
Malavany,
excuse me. Forgive me.
It's okay.
Please. Listen, you don't look as old as your resume indicates. You are actually the cantor of the Israeli army from 63 to 68, right?
No. From 61 to 63.
Oh, wow. Even older than I thought.
Yeah, I was at that time minus 5 years old.
and you went on to be, you were knighted by the president of Poland for your musical contribution. So you've been around. I mean, you have a lot of experience. And you don't look it. Again, you look at like about 50 years old.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. But so how did you get into, the Israeli army singing and all this stuff?
Well, I grew up in Tel Aviv, in Israel, in the famous school and synagogue where there was a beautiful boys' choir. At the age of 12, it was called Bilu. At the age of 12, I became the conductor of the choir because I was studying equally at the Academy of Music in Tel Aviv. which is today Tel Aviv University. And so I was into it from a very, very young age. I joined the choir when I was 8 years old. When I was 10 and a half, I already conducted services in the synagogue.
Wow. No kidding.
So they said that they discovered something, whatever. And then when I joined the army, immediately I was approached by the chief rabbi of the army. You got to come to the rabbinate, the chief rabbinate of the army, to become the cantor of the army. And that's a big job.
Oh, sure. Huge. You still had to shoot a gun, I'm sure, right?
And how?
I'm sure, yeah, right?
Well, very much so. Yeah. I tell you, sometimes I wake up in the morning or in the middle of the night, I said, where's my gun?
Really?
Wow, no kidding.
Honestly, in so many years, I'm out of the army since 1963.
50 years almost.
Yeah,
49 years.
More.
Oh, excuse me, you're right.
Yeah, almost 60.
69 years.
Oh, no, not quite. But whatever, we'll calculate
we're getting
later. it remains in you. It becomes part of your DNA.
But sure. Look at you. You're such a tranquil, serene, nice man. Now, by the way, I would say this to you. And by no means take offense to this, because you are at what you do as great as we are what we do. You're the best. You're the king.
Thank
you. You're the man. You're welcome.
And so is WABC.
Yes, agreed. But I will tell you that no one does a better Ein Kelohenu or a Don Olam than me. Nobody.
Okay. I tell you, if you come to my synagogue, I may consider giving you the honor to do it.
Is that right? I can go up on stage and sing a Don Olam?
I'll have to go through the board to discuss it, but I'll push it.
Should he
audition right now just for 20 seconds?
No, that's a lot of pressure.
But
now,
you know, Fifth Avenue Synagogue is the most important Orthodox synagogue in North America.
It is, right?
It is.
Is it the biggest congregation?
No, it's a small congregation, but very distinguished. Leonard Bernstein was my member.
Oh, wow.
Yitzhak Perlman may live long time, my member. Elie Wiesel was my member. He was my closest friend.
I
buried him, unfortunately.
Oh, my God.
And so it's very prestigious. Everybody looks at being a member as an honor to be a member.
Of course.
And whenever the prime minister or president of Israel, whoever, automatically to the Fifth Avenue.
So Bibi's been there.
Bibi's a very close friend of mine.
No kidding.
Very close friend of mine. I didn't want to bother him today because he's running around all over, but I'll talk to him tomorrow,
yes.
Maybe.
Chief Cantor Joseph Malavani. Tell us about the state of Israel and your thoughts on this Israeli Independence Day. I mean, it's a testament,
yes,
as I've been saying all morning, to the tenacity, the courage, the strength of the Jewish people.
Thank you for the question. Look, I learned all these things at the beginning from my father. My father was a Jew from Poland. And when he came to Israel in the mid-1930s, then he met my mother later, but he joined the Haganah, one of the main underground group.
Right.
And he believed, he went through a lot of miracles during the War of Liberation 73 years ago.
In 48, yeah.
And in 48. And he always said to me that he saw the miracle, he saw the hand of God conducting the war. You understand that 3 years, I explained it to Putin when I met him in Auschwitz. I said to him, 3 years took after the Holocaust and the State of Israel was born.
Yep.
God did not forsake us completely. I'm a little bit theological
That's
now.
Perfectly fine.
God did not forsake us completely. Maybe there was a reason that we don't seem to know. But what he did, he compensated and he gave us the State of Israel.
Wow. Yes, he did.
And so my father, and then the State of Israel, ever since 2 years ago today, I had a huge concert in Jerusalem. Huge. And so last night I was watching in Jerusalem the whole beginning of the celebration. I cried like a baby.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you, Cantor, are one hell of a story in yourself.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for coming here to
the state of Israel.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you on Fifth Avenue real soon.
Anytime, Mr. Rosenberg.
You're welcome too.
What is your name?
Bernard McGurk. Thank you,
Bernard,
sir.
Thank you so much.
I'll be up next with Joan Hamburg, then back at 11. Thank you from Bernie and I. We'll talk tomorrow morning at 6:30. Keep it right here for me and Joan Hamburg next.